Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19 is what this story is based on. Where are the others? The bright rays of the rising sun coming through the cave mouth awoke Elnathan from his unsettled sleep, not that he ever got satisfying sleep these days. As he stirred about, the others with him in the cave also began stirring. And there were nine others about who also shared the same fate. In their former lives, they may have been lawyers, physicians, teachers, or just laborers. But now in their present state, none of that really mattered. Elnathan was a common laborer prior to finding himself in his present condition. He worked for one of the wealthier merchants in the city of Samaria, delivering goods from one place to another. He would never get wealthy this way, but at least it was a steady job, and his employer had been kind. Elnathan lived with his wife and five children, three sons and two daughters, in the city. It had been over 3 years since he was forced to leave family, home, and work. He could still recall that day. Elnathan had woken up at daybreak, just as was his custom. Normally, he would have gone about waking his children, do some work in the small garden plot outside the city, and then return for some breakfast before heading off to work. But not this day. He had awoken with an odd sensation in his fingers. Or perhaps it was the lack of sensations that alarmed him most. He went about thinking that it was just temporary, thinking that it was perhaps the way he had slept on it, and that whatever happened would go away soon. As he started to dress himself to go awake his children in the other rooms, he looked at his left hand. What he saw alarmed him and frightened him more than the lack of sensation. There were pale blotches about his fingers. What could it be? And then the unwelcome thought came to him. The dreaded disease. Leprosy. A gasp of shock and terror escaped from him, rousing his wife, Ilana. "What is it?" asked Ilana. "Nothing," Elnathan replied as he tried to quickly cover up his left arm. He knew what leprosy meant. If confirmed, it would be end of life, as he had known it. "What's wrong?" Ilana persisted. She arose and started towards Elnathan, who, backing away, commanded, "Stop! Don't come near me!" The drowsy fog of sleep quickly dissipated from Ilana. She began to put her husband's actions and words together, and when the force of the realization hit her, she screamed out in fear and terror, "No!" The children came running from their part of the house towards their parents. Ilana screamed at them, "Don't get near your father!" And then turning to Elnathan, she asked with a trembling voice, "Show us your arm and hand." Elnathan slowly withdrew his arm from inside his garment and slowly extended his hand out toward his family. He was starting to shake, starting to sob. His family came as close as they could without coming in danger of accidentally touching Elnathan. A numb look came over each as they saw his hand, and they too began sobbing and weeping. There would be no more hugs and kisses. Elnathan was unclean. He could not be touched by anyone clean. As quickly as possible, Ilana and the children gathered together a sack with clothing, food, water. This was set aside outside the door of the home. The tearful farewells were made doubly bitter because all they could do was speak to one another. Already, the disease had accomplished one of its dreadful works of separating loved ones from one another. Elnathan exited the house, picked up the sack, and began the dreadful and depressing march away from all he knew to a life that he neither invited nor desired. Leprosy is something that happens to the bad people, he thought to himself. What did I do to deserve this judgment from God? He screamed out, silently in his soul. Even though he was a Samaritan and did not abide by most of the Jewish regulations, he still held to the Levitical regulations in the Torah as binding upon him. He made his way to the home of the nearest priest. Outside the door, he yelled out, "Priest Haggai, I need your judgment on a matter." Haggai opened the door and looked at Elnathan. Elnathan stretched out his infected hand towards Haggai. Haggai looked, then turned away in disgust. From inside the nearly closed door, Haggai rendered judgment. "God has judged your sins and made you unclean. You must leave at once and never return. May the demons have more mercy on you than God." With that, the door was slammed shut. Elnathan made his way out of the city and well away from any place where someone might accidentally encounter him. In past years, he had heard about a group of lepers who had made habitation among the remote caves in the hills on the way between Samaria and Nazareth. He had never used that road before. After all, he, a Samaritan, would be unwelcome in the Jewish region. And secondly, he had no wish to be near the unclean. Yet, there he was now, making his way to this very area that would have been the last place on his mind. In fact, hell would have been a more welcome sentence than being forced to live the rest of his days rejected by both man and God, living under the wrath and punishment of God. Upon his arrival, the first thing Elnathan noticed, still far away from the caves, was the stench. There were areas of Samaria in the waste heap outside the city that were bad, but this was a different sort of putrid stench. He began to retch, but forced himself to go on. In order to survive, he could not go it alone. For the first few months, Ilana and the children made weekly visits to see Elnathan and bring him supplies. But as the months went by, the visits came less frequently. Ilana and the children, probably desiring to get on with their lives and to minimize the stigma that continued to haunt them. And perhaps it was how his physical appearance rapidly deteriorated after the first year. By and by, the visits became bi-weekly, then monthly, and over 3 years later now, it was over 4 months since he had last seen them. During this time, Elnathan saw other lepers around him come and go, that is, come in walking, but most left being carried out, lifeless. Through the years, there were both Samaritans and Jews, and even Gentiles, in this little, hopeless community. But now, all except Elnathan were Jews. But nationality and race mattered little when they were all under sentence of death by God himself. They did what they could to share their meager supplies. As the months and years passed, Elnathan's condition worsened. The blotches spread from his left hand to his arm, then new ones appeared on his right fingers and both his feet. From there they spread up and down to his face and eventually his entire body. As he went about his days, he would incur injuries but would feel nothing until he would suddenly notice cuts, bruises, and bleeding. At first, discovery of each injury startled him, and he would do what he could to bind up the wounds to prevent further injuries and worsening. The others around him would nod knowingly, but say nothing, as they observed him attempting to treat himself. After several months of this, he noticed that it didn't really matter what he did with his injuries and wounds. They simply would not get any better. He began to understand why none of the others seemed to do anything about their physical problems. There was no point. Without any feelings of pain, whether or not the wounds were bandaged, he would forget about them and do things that would further aggravate the condition. Elnathan hadn't seen himself in the mirror since leaving Samaria over 3 years ago, but looking at the condition of the rest of him, torn skin and flesh, rotting away on his hands and arms, feet, and legs, and looking around at those that were here longer than he knew that he fared no better. From the very beginning, Elnathan wrestled with the question of what had he done to deserve such divine punishment. Was it the time he got angry with his wife? Or perhaps the time he yelled at his children? Or was it the time when he discovered he had received more for his purchase than he had paid for and didn't say anything about it? Was it for skipping an occasional worship service? There were others who did so much worse and seemed to prosper. How about the rulers who seemed to take bribes with both hands and both feet if they could? Or the tax collectors who would, if they could, wring out every last denarius from the widows? How about the Romans who practiced legalized murder? Where was God's punishment on them? Even though the ancient story of Job wasn't part of the Samaritan scripture, Elnathan knew a few things about it. He thought to himself, Job's wife had a point. Why try to live through my troubles? I should follow her advice, curse God, and hope he finishes the job he started and take my life. It was just a few months after his arrival that Elnathan heard from a new arrival to the community that there was a new prophet preaching at the Jordan River some distance away. This new prophet's name was John, and he was preaching the repentance of sins and baptism for everyone, Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles. John was apparently saying that there would be an even greater prophet coming after him, though Elnathan nor any of the others knew what that really meant. And upon hearing this, Elnathan wondered aloud, maybe if I could somehow get to this John and got baptized, the disease will leave me. Aureli, one of the other lepers, smirked. Oh, you're naive, Elnathan. Let's suppose you could even get to the Jordan. Would anyone let you close? No. But let's suppose they did, and you began to approach this prophet. If this prophet were truly a man of God, he would bring down more curses upon you. And even if not, there is no one in their right mind who would willingly allow you to approach him. No, my dear Elnathan, once cursed by God, always cursed. There is no cure. There is no hope. His faint hope dashed. Elnathan once again receded into his brooding over the unfairness of God and his anger towards such a God. Just a few months later, Cana, a wife of one of the other lepers, arrived from Samaria with news. There's a new prophet, she exclaimed. The entire village of Sychar has accepted this prophet who calls himself Jesus. Elnathan thought to himself, Sychar. That's the little village near Samaria. Cana continues. In fact, some say this Jesus might be the anointed one, the Messiah, the one promised through Abraham and the prophets. And guess what? Jesus is a Jew, but he doesn't seem to have any of those self-righteous attitudes normally associated with them. Not only that, but he is said to have first made contact with that woman, you know. The one who's well known from going from bed to bed. Elnathan thought to himself, a Jew who defiles himself associating with the Samaritans and with a woman of ill reputation. And some say this Jew, this Jesus, is the Messiah. And then an almost inconceivable thought entered his mind. If this Jesus, who could be a chosen one of God, if he defiles himself by associating with those that God considers second class, would he stoop further and associate with those God has rejected? And then Elnathan admonished himself, no, that isn't possible. God has left me. He wants nothing to do with me. Even if this Jesus was the Messiah, there is no hope left for me. A few months later, Cana arrived again with an astonishing report. Breathlessly, she starts out, but all her words run together, and so she starts again. Remember this Jesus, the prophet that I told you about before? Guess what? It's claimed he touched and healed a leper, and nothing bad came down on Jesus. We've never seen or even heard of anything like this before. The little flicker of hope that had started, but then was extinguished a few months back, once again ignited within El Natan. Perhaps there is still hope, thought El Natan. If only I can get close enough to this Jesus, maybe he'll have compassion on me too. I wonder if Jesus will ever make his way this way. But it was just more news about Jesus that continued to arrive over the next couple of years. With each news, Elnathan's hope grew a little brighter. He heard about Jesus healing all sorts of sickness. He heard about blind eyes being opened, of deaf ears and mute mouths being opened, and even demons being forced to obey the words of Jesus. What kind of man would disregard laws, regulations, and traditions to work such supernatural feats for those who are regarded as under God's curse? Will he ever come close enough for me to plead my case? Yet, despite these moments of hope, Elnathan spent most of his days in the depths of the darkness of depression. There were many nights when he would curse God, hoping he would not live to see the following morning. Yet even this little bit of mercy, he apparently could not receive from God. So distant had God rejected him, he thought, in his deepest times of discouragement. It was about a week ago that Levi, a cousin of Areli, and also a leper, brought the most improbable news about Jesus. Levi claimed to have been in the area of Bethany when a man dead for 4 days had been resurrected by Jesus. Levi reported that many are even saying Jesus is more than the Messiah, but that he is God himself, the great I Am that had appeared to Abraham, Jacob, and Moses. Some even say they heard Jesus claim to be the I Am. And then Levi concluded with the most relevant bit of information. Jesus is headed this way. It was now the seventh morning since this last most exciting news. Each night, Elnathan would try to fall asleep on one hand with thoughts of hope, yet on the other hand, the despair that he was beyond even the help of Jesus. After all, this dead man raised to life hadn't been a leper. At least he was still clean when he died. And if this Jesus was indeed God himself, would he have anything to do with a man that he himself had rejected? And so with these same thoughts, he fell asleep the previous night and awoke with them again this morning. Together with Levi, Areli, and the others, Elnathan went out towards the path to make sure to not miss Jesus if and when he should come through. They had been doing this for the past 6 mornings, but their hope had not yet been fulfilled. Perhaps today will be the day, each thought to himself. It was midday when the 10 heard sounds of a large crowd approaching. As the crowd approached and came within sight of the 10 covered their faces and began calling out loudly, "Unclean! Unclean!" just as the Levitical regulations prescribed. The crowd abruptly stopped, their expressions turning to horror at seeing a group of lepers standing in the middle of the path, blocking their progress. But there continued to be a movement in the middle of the group that was slowly moving forward. After a few moments, a man came forward, followed a few feet back by 12 others, and distinctly separated themselves from the rest of the crowd. Levi began to call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And then the remaining 9 joined in the chant, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus raised up his hands and motioned for silence. When the 10 had stopped their chanting, Jesus spoke in a loud and clear voice, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." The 10 lepers looked at one another, a bit of questioning on their faces. They didn't look like they had been healed. They looked at their own hands and feet, and they still looked just like they did a minute before. "Well, do we go?" they asked one another. Elnathan volunteered, "I seem to recall at least one time when Jesus simply spoke the words and a person was healed. Maybe we should just follow his command and see what happens." What's there to lose? They asked among themselves, and they turned around to go to Nazareth, where the nearest priest was known to reside. And so they began walking towards Nazareth, leaving behind Jesus and the crowd. For the first few minutes, they kept looking at one another and themselves, but to no avail. They went a mile, then two, then three. About 6 miles and an hour and a half later, Areli looked at Levi and brought all 10 to a halt. Then he looked at himself, and then, once again, at the others. "Look at yourselves," Areli instructed, and they did. Smiles came to the faces of one after another. "I've been healed," each exclaimed, one after another. The skin and flesh on their faces, their hands, their feet, their arms, and their legs had been restored. It was, in fact, better than when they had first contracted the dreaded disease. There were no blemishes to be seen, no wrinkles, no scars. Areli spoke up. "Hurry, my brothers. We must get to the priest so that he can prescribe the necessary sacrifices and rituals to bring us back to our families and businesses." And then he glanced towards Elnathan. "Except you. Go find yourself one of your own priests. We are accepted back by God, but you were born unclean. We may have been brothers before, but no longer. To continue an association with you would mean continued defilement." The sting of rejection drove into Elnathan afresh. He was healed, yet in the next moment, he was once again experiencing rejection. In a quivering voice, he called out to the nine, "Shouldn't we at least return to thank Jesus?" Levi replied for the nine, "Who are you, a dog, to be giving us commands? This Jesus, he associates with women of ill repute. He associates with you dogs and Gentiles. He cannot declare us clean. He is not qualified. Our priority is to see a priest so that we may be declared clean. Was that not his command to us? We must follow the laws and regulations prescribed by Moses first. And then, if we happen upon the chance, we will thank Jesus." With that, the nine hurried on their journey toward Nazareth and left the dejected Elnathan alone. Slowly, he picked himself up and began walking towards Samaria. "Who is this Jesus?" Elnathan thought to himself. "Is he just a great prophet, or is he God, as some say he is?" As Elnathan began to ponder these thoughts and questions in his mind, he became convinced that if Jesus was even a prophet, what Jesus said would carry more weight than any priest would. Elnathan thought to himself again, "Weren't many of the prophets of old sent to rebuke the priests? If prophets are greater than priests, then why couldn't Jesus declare me clean?" Elnathan's pace quickened as he came to this realization, and after a while he was jogging, then running. About half an hour later, as he was running, Elnathan saw the crowd once again entering his field of vision. His run turned into a full sprint. Seeing Elnathan sprinting toward them, the crowd once again paused, and once again, Jesus and 12 men around him moved forward past the front of the crowd. When Elnathan saw Jesus in the distance, he began breathless shouts of praise and thanksgiving. To him, those last few hundred yards seemed both like eternity and no time at all. It was as if time had stopped. He found himself throwing himself to the ground at Jesus' feet, laughing, sobbing, singing, and shouting all at once. Jesus stooped down to lift up Elnathan's face. The most compassionate, warm smile was upon Jesus' face as his eyes met Elnathan's. But then a little frown and sadness came upon Jesus' face as he asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? But before Elnathan could respond, Jesus stood up and turned around to face the crowd and said to them, "Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Immediately, Jesus turned again to Elnathan and took his hand to lift him up to his feet. As Jesus was lifting him up, he commanded, "Stand up and go now to your family and home. Your faith has healed you. has cleansed you completely. Your faith has saved you." Elnathan bade Jesus farewell and left the crowd behind to head back home to Samaria. No rituals or sacrifices were required from him. How much those other nine missed. By refusing to return to simply give thanks, Elnathan thought to himself, instead of waiting 8 long days to be permitted back into community, I have God's, yes, Jesus is Lord, Savior, and my God. I have God's own word that I am clean. I can't wait to see Ilana and the children. Yet, there was a small part of him that harbored a little fear. Will they recognize me? Will they take me back? But then he recalled Jesus' words to him. Go now to your family. And he thought to himself, I have Jesus' assurance that everything will turn out all right. And so Elnathan continued to make his journey back home, even though darkness had settled about the land. Before he could make it to Samaria, he was not afraid. He had Jesus' assurance that he would make it back home. Even with stumbling here and there, the thought and sight of his family in his mind kept him going, quickening his pace, lightening his steps. It was late by the time Elnathan entered the gates of Samaria and made his way to his home. He knocked on the door. No, he pounded on the door. No answer. He pounded again. This time he heard some sounds coming from within. A few moments later, the little window on the door slid open to reveal the face of Ilana. She blinked once, twice, and then whispered in a trembling voice, Elnathan, is that you? What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Elnathan tried to assure her, I've been healed, Ilana, healed. Open the door and see for yourself. Jesus, my Lord and my God, healed me. From inside, more rustling was heard, and a few voices of children were heard asking, Mother, who is that at the door? Ilana turned away from Elnathan and replied tentatively, It's your father. Please get me a lamp. The window slid closed, then the bolt was undone, and the door opened tentatively as Ilana peeked past the crack. She brought out a lamp and poked it past the crack to illuminate Elnathan more fully. Ilana examined him up and down for several minutes. Elnathan showed his face, his hands and arms, his feet and legs. He undid the top part of his robe to show that his body, too, was disease-free. Convinced finally, Ilana threw open the door, and after staring at one another, Ilana flew into Elnathan's outstretched arms. Almost immediately, this was followed by the 5 children, grabbing and hugging arms and legs, whatever could be found. The commotion awoke the neighbors, who all came out to see what the disturbance was about. When they saw Elnathan and saw that he was disease-free, they peppered him with questions. Elnathan invited everyone into his house so that he could relate to them the wonders of compassion, grace, mercy, and power that Jesus showed to him this day. Elnathan lingered on how much the other 9 had missed out on, because they simply wouldn't take the time to return to thank Jesus. Elnathan no longer bore any ill toward the other 9, because it was their own attitude and prejudices that caused themselves to miss out on the greater blessing that was there simply to be received.